According to the Association for the Study of Dreams, 5 to 10% of adults have nightmares at least once a month. And according to our gospel reading, God is one of those people. The gospel reading presents us with what we might call God's recurring nightmare. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes." God has come to save his people, but they reject him. This theme occurs throughout the scriptures. God's people worship idols. They worship money. They worship their military power. They worship anything and everything except the true God. And time again, this senseless rebellion against the Lord of heaven and earth brings destruction on God's people. And I'm not just talking about the Old Testament. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus compares his people to a man who is invited to a banquet, but he makes lame excuses why he can't come. Jesus compares his people to a fig tree that bears no fruit. He compares them to evil tenants who beat the master's servants and kill the master's son. Over and over again, God experiences the same thing when it comes to the human race. He is there to save his people, but they want none of it. So what does God do about this nightmare? Well, Dr. Phil says that if you have a nightmare, that this is actually your subconscious mind dealing with unfinished emotional business from your day. And so Dr. Phil's advice is that you tell your nightmare to someone else, or you write it out scene by scene to enable you to process the emotional issues during the day so they won't show up in your dreams at night. His advice is to focus on the waking world because that's where the real issue is. Well, now, what does this have to do with the gospel reading? Because the gospel reading is not literally a nightmare. It's not literally a dream. And yet, if God wanted to, he could take Dr. Phil's advice. He could consider our world to be a dream. Because with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. All flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. So God could, if he wanted to, focus on his eternal existence. He could dissipate our world like a mist, like a dream, and he would continue on in his eternal existence. But that's not what he does. In open defiance of Dr. Phil, God enters even more fully into the, quote, dream world. He puts down roots there, as it were. He declares that this is the arena in which he will deal with the issues. And what are the issues? Well, in this case, the issues have nothing to do with God's emotional problems that he didn't deal with during the day, but rather they have to do with the self-destructive behavior of the human race. Now, I say self-destructive, even though the destruction is aimed at Jesus. Because if you notice in the gospel reading, Jesus weeps not for himself, but he weeps for Jerusalem, for the very people who are about to kill him, because he knows that they are the ones who will ultimately be destroyed by this behavior. Sometimes devotion towards Jesus can turn into something like feeling sorry for him for all the pain that he endured on the cross. But that's not where the sorrow is in today's reading. That's not where the tragedy is. Jesus is not exactly an innocent victim here. He is innocent, to be sure. But he is taking his chosen path. He set his face towards Jerusalem. No one took his life from him. He laid it down of his own accord. So the real tragedy is the fact that his own people did not know that this was the time of God's visitation. The real tragedy is when we do not know that this is the time of God's visitation. The irony is that God uses this destructive behavior and he turns it to the good and uses it to bring to completion his gracious visitation. The death of Christ is at the same time the climax of humanity's rebellion against God and the means by which he saves us. What they meant as murder, he meant as a sacrifice for sin. What they did to condemn him, he did to forgive. What they inflicted upon him in ignorance, he endured in full knowledge that this is the way that he has redeemed and visited his people. In the death of Christ, God has remembered his promise of mercy and redeemed us from destruction. And therefore, we can say with the psalmist, "In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.